Greetings, and bienvenue, Midnight Crew. Thank you for returning to this broadcast. And welcome to new viewers joining us for the first time. If you like a video, then feel free to subscribe.
The phenomena behind the recent uptick of UFO stories. I was told to post here what I discussed with some of my peers in recent weeks. I hope I found the right sub forum. This is the first time I post on 4chan. I was told there is a netiquette here I am not aware of. Sorry if I break the unwritten rules. It is not a sign of disrespect, since I am not aware of such rules. I was told to make it clear, I am not a LARP. I am not a whistleblower. For decades, I was serving my country as a civilian expert doing government-mandated assignments, balancing full-time jobs as well. My expertise in general, culture, history, and foreign relations. Most of the usual assignments were trying to rephrase our history to appear more glorious than it is. To spin a newly emerged expedition or artifact to appear more important in history than it actually was. Political PR for the ruling side, basically. For example, occasionally I was asked to give a statement about the validity and legitimacy of certain smaller sects coming from neighboring countries, mostly Christian. Usually these assignments were mandated because these sects filed for complete exemption from taxes and such privileges. This is a NATO member country which is not part of the Five Eyes or UK-USA partnership. I was never briefed. I have no top secret clearance, and this country is not really the epicenter of information. There is no way I know details or secrets about the topic at hand. This is just a hunch, a 20-year-old memory coming back like a comet. I see now that there is a 2,000-word limit. I hope I will be able to post the entire message in consecutive posts in the same forum. Sorry if I fail. At one point, a bit more than 20 years ago, my duty, an official government assignment, was to vet a new movement. The task was to do the due diligence needed to give out certain rights or privileges to a modern religious-like movement. Speaking fluent English was not really that common here 20 years ago. At least not in my age bracket. I also had some pedigree in interstate affairs. It wasn't that surprising I was asked to do the vetting, despite it being a bit unusual, since this new sect was from the West. It already started spreading in Europe, but wasn't anything serious yet. I was not surprised that I was asked to do it. It tracked with my previous work, and not a lot of experts of culture and history could write an email, let alone speak fluent English. But something was off because my expertise is pretty far from what I had to investigate later. I received a handler, or at least someone who had access to, for example, Interpol data, and who asked the questions which we needed to find an answer for. He was sent by a subsidiary of the Cultural Ministry. We also got a hold of someone who works closely with an existing unofficial Catholic sect, well, unofficial in the Vatican sense, but full privilege in our country. He was basically a popular for-profit pastor like in the US but without the TV show. Turned out this guy we found, who is the assistant of a pastor, was approached by the cult I am investigating with something strange. I started to investigate the sect. I was listening to publicly available footage, reading pamphlets, trying to find out what I am missing because it felt fishy. I was looking for tax reports and other corporate documents from different countries all over the world. Tried to find out how many people are decision makers, what money they make and where they put it. But after a while it became clear that this is more than that. We are trying to find out if the sect is a national security risk or not. Never was this a concern. It was odd. I remember having a conversation about this when the pastor's assistant came into picture. I was told of him by the handler. After we met, he hinted that he never mentioned he was contacted by the sect to people other than his pastor. According to him, either the sect self-reported themselves, or it must have been a wiretap on either phone. Since the investigation was steered into national security territory in the previous weeks, I openly discussed this with the handler, who gave some vague answers that there is a theory that this sect has ulterior motives. In weeks before this, my scope of investigation was steered from religious speeches to something more akin to a money laundering investigation. I was even asked if I can find someone who is in some sort of power, who has a contact with the sect and had a change in behavior since coming into contact. This was unlike anything I ever worked before. It was like a spy movie. A pretty boring one, but compared to what I did otherwise, this was thrilling, actually. At this point, I am pretty sure the reader can guess the sex name. It is called Scientology. What keeps me up at night is a sentence from the pastor's assistant, which never left me. I do not really consider him the most trustworthy witness or completely sane, to be honest. But I still cannot find any reason for, or possibility that he just made it up, thanks to him being a bit ashamed or violated due to us knowing about the meeting in the first place. I interviewed him about the meetings on two occasions. The story remained consistent, and most of it was nothing out of the ordinary, apart from one thing. According to the pastor's assistant, they told him, "We can teach your group how to pray to angels to summon them." I shared the disbelief of the assistant. Christians, no matter if Catholics or not, do not worship or pray to angels. I tried to argue that it might be different in the West, but then the assistant said they did not speak figuratively. They actually tried to show it a few days later, but the pastor refused any further contact, so the assistant refused the experiment. I was pretty skeptical, but the assistant insisted that it was not a figure of speech. They literally tried to show them how to summon angels. After we dug up most of what we could about the sect, we got a pretty good idea that this is a religion second, but a secret society first. Scientology did not receive the official religion status in my country. It could not become a church. The official position is that Scientology is using people as assets to gain more followers, possibly with blackmails received via the interrogation efforts called cleansing. Direct translation might have a different English name. But the unofficial explanation I got from the handler is darker. He claims it looks like Scientology is trying to infiltrate the media and politics especially. They are deliberately doing what a foreign actor would do if trying to influence a country. And the end goal is not clear. Does not seem like it is money, since they reinvest almost everything. Over 20 years later, this memory hit me hard. It was during a video I watched. A few weeks ago, I listened to the news. It said there are drones all over Germany, Britain, and the US, and they are unidentified. I watched a random video I found of it. Then I watched another a few days later. It is a fascinating topic. I started talking about it with my mates. Then I learned about the egg video, and I read some stuff I was sent. And then the YouTube algorithm showed me a video where someone talked about the drones, like it was obvious they are aliens. The hair stood up on my back. I know that guy. I wrote a report directly about him over 20 years ago, since I found he is a center figure in Scientology. Hal Puthoff. In my report, I explained that he was among the first, somewhat public figures who were in a preferred position for Scientology and completely changed his behavior after getting exposed to the sect. I explained that he changed from an accepted Stanford engineer who publishes scientific papers to a parapsychologist who tries to remote view the moon looking for alien soul catchers. In a few months, he became a top-level Scientologist, when most only reach level 3 after years. There are multiple links between him and state-level actors, multiple shady events and transactions, a bunch of red flags. I reported them all. It turned out he was busy in the last 20 years as well. He is not rushing to disclose his affiliation to Scientology, but he managed to start a UFO company with a rock star. In the past few days, I tried to learn about the lore of ufology. I learned about the New York Times article, what came of it, and it was obvious that the entire topic is sprinkled with what people call the woo. Remote viewing, CE5, telepathy. I see a trend calling aliens angels and demons. Turns out we can summon them and people call them angels. But this is so familiar, I already had these arguments and questions 20 plus years ago. My experience happened thousands of miles from the US. It happened 2 decades before. And yet everything is the same. Hal Puthoff tries to convince people that he can summon angels. What are the odds? My conclusion is this. The entire topic, ufology since 2017, is basically a conspiracy against people. But it is not a conspiracy about aliens or telepathy. Just the usual. Power. Old religions are not able to control people anymore. No one is afraid of God in 2025. But convincing people that science cannot answer the big questions, that you just need to open your mind to reach an omnipotent source of consciousness, well, that is not a new idea either, but it works. My opinion is that ufology today is a conspiracy by A. some political groups, B. Scientology, C. economic interest groups. Their goal is to replace both religions and critical thinking skills with a chaotic idea about an alien god. Let's call it Xenu. I think the end goal is the same as always. Power, control, money, etc. I am not very well read into ufology. I might have missed details. Please feel free to correct or inform me. Feel free to discuss. But for the love of God, please do not try to paint Puthoff in a good light. I can tell he only got worse since my report. Best course of action would be to try to prove or disprove the connection between people and corporations of ufology and the Church of Scientology. For example, News Nation is pushing the topic like there is no tomorrow. They are owned by Nexstar, just like 50 other media outlets. Google, Nexstar Scientology. Not only do they share Scientologist press releases, thousands of them, but a lot of employees seem to sympathize with them. I would say it's odd, but this is old news for me. Thanks for reading. Aliens might exist, but Hal Puthoff or his remote viewing antics has nothing to do with them. I haven't used English for a while now. I hope the text is understandable. Have a nice day, guys.
Thanks for sharing, Anon, and I think your suspicions are justified, but I have to say, I do believe Hal investigated and joined Scientology because he had a lot of overlap with what he was seeing with non-local consciousness, remote viewing, and the whole UFO phenomenon. Pretty sure Ingo Swann and some others close to Ingo got Hal interested in digging way deeper into Scientology. There may be a there-there type of thing. Hal, like a good scientist, went where the data was and went deep for a while to see what he could find. He left Scientology in the early 70s, and left it behind when he saw all the culty religious-style narratives being the main push and drive behind the scenes, just as you describe, controlling people. I think once Hal found what he wanted, he got out of Dodge. I commend him for having the will to explore all avenues and for having the balls to do what others would not in an effort to seek answers. So no, I don't think you are quite right. But you are not wrong either. The more extreme claims should be applied to certain driving Scientologists. You can probably blame Ingo Swann for what you are blaming Hal for here, in this case, while some of the Hal accusations are a little off. Dig deeper, my friend, and you'll get a bit more clarity.
I would agree, but back in the 70s and 80s when Hal joined Scientology, this remote viewing aspect was a complete secret in Scientology. It only became common knowledge after the South Park episode on Scientology shed light on the base belief system. After that episode, Scientology became more transparent, but not voluntarily. In the 1970s, an outsider like Puthoff could not tell from the outside that Scientology has a similar interest. Maybe it wasn't Puthoff who contacted the other. The contact may have been made by the church, but at this time Puthoff was a random Stanford graduate. Not really someone who stands out. Everything points to Puthoff starting to care about remote viewing after he joined the church.
Absolutely top posting, thank you, OP. Just when I began to wonder if we were going to get anything interesting ever again. In the US, there is an open secret that a certain church has a faction within the FBI. This is not to say they are controlled by the church, although in the past that may have been true, more that they operate as a clique or mannerbund within the greater organization, raising the question of their own goals and methods. What you describe sounds similar. Do you believe only the Scientologists are pushing this narrative? Are they simply co-opting a real phenomenon to lend their org legitimacy and maybe even a seat at the table if or when serious multilateral diplomacy begins around this issue?
I agree a lot of New Age ideology is cultish, but as one who actually experiences many of the things it talks about, I can't agree with your general assessment. I remote view an angelic intelligence, and it teleports my consciousness through to other realms of thought, and I meet these aliens. And they aren't much different than you would expect an advanced consciousness capable of using its mind as such to be. The New Age phenomena has many factions and agents all working for various extraterrestrial and human agendas. They are all sort of trying to control the narrative about what is real, who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, who our allies are, what is the actual history, what is the real present conflict, etc. Take it all with a massive grain of salt. However, remote viewing is 100% a real thing, and there are both spiritual and more physically alien-seeming intelligences that one can and will encounter doing this. You could think of it like technology. Right now, people build online communities, various software virtual worlds like video streaming, online gaming, single-player games, music, info feeds, and social media sites. Consciousness is quite similar to this, but even more extreme in its manifestation of immersion, and in the unique variations, so unique that they are individually tailored to each participant. And it's not like there is an instruction manual or a tutorial. The help is sort of like an AI, but it's actually consciously aware of you and is responsive to you in the present, while cognizant of your past interactions with it. Sometimes it might even know things about you that you don't know yourself. It's kind of like you see with your eyes, and you see a universe of organic and inorganic material. When you see with your mind, you see the consciousness of all these things, and it sees you as well. And so, each being who becomes aware on this level tends to be attracted towards others of like mind. The Freemasons in their lodges will dream about the Freemason dramatic rituals in their lodges, and so their psychic consciousness is tuned into Freemasonry as the real thing. A Scientologist will see the same thing with their own organization. There are many religious realms of thought, and participants in such religions tend to see the spirit world similar to each other. Even corporate structures tend to produce these realms of consciousness, and many who are embedded into materialism are bound by corporate mimology and ideology. Even governments have this. If you try to travel to another country as consciousness, you will find that each country has its own sort of collective subconscious awareness of the spirit world, some more advanced than others. The main difference between us and these aliens is that they tend to be much more aware within these realms of perception than we are. Humans are struggling to foster this type of perception in ourselves. There is little offered from society as help, and much offered that is actually somewhat predatory. In fact, civilization itself is a type of control structure imposed upon the soul, and its grip goes deep and can grasp hold of one over multiple generations of life. These competing soul groups are responsible for much of the conflict we perceive within the world today. For a lone navigator, it's difficult to remain free, but if done, one can see much more than even the most advanced intelligence agencies on this planet, if they are so dedicated. For those who can't see, the powers that be are moving in the shadows to project a narrative that is favorable to them. Why does the deep state need an alien threat? If there was no such thing, there would be no such need for a massive military infrastructure.
Great post. That would very likely be the most logical assumption. You should always approach reality based on things you know you can see yourself, and your assumption of what is intended by this makes perfect sense. I want to explain a perspective on this. There is an aspect to this that very few UFO people really dive into, but is likely the most important thing. The UFO topic tackles two very seemingly different things that collide in a very profound way. Most UFO people start with either Zechariah Sitchin or with events starting in World War II and in 1947 in the US, and these happen to be connected things that open up irrefutable mysteries. True fact, every kingdom on Earth claims its divine right to rule based upon being descendants of a royal lineage that is in contact with non-human intelligence. In fact, the stories are so close that we create archetypes. There are a number of things that are seemingly in every religion on every continent that do not make sense. This often gets explained as some sort of knowledge from the Rather, but there are many books showing agricultural products and things from the Americas in Europe and China which predate when we were supposed to have had trade. You cannot manifest things like that. There has to have been physical trade. I could talk about genetic anomalies that make zero sense as well. In North America, this is more obvious to some because Occupy Wall Street showed a plutocratic oligarchy. All the presidents turned out to be genetically related, and men like Carol Quigley wrote in-depth books about collusion between seemingly unrelated countries. I realize that explanation was all over the map, but here is my ultimate point. There are things here that were planned 200 years ago being done. Every country is in lockstep right now over a narrative, most of which is theater. The ruling caste hyper-normalized that the governments aren't really the governors, at least for the smart people.
In 2005, I briefly visited Area 51, and observed the Black Triangle UFO. Posting this now in light of the recent interview with Ryan Anderson, former Green Beret. I am a U.S. Air Force veteran and current federal investigator who was assigned to the 9th Airlift Squadron at Dover Air Force Base. I don't have a book to sell or a podcast. You will not find my name anywhere. This is not a LARP. So anyway, here goes. We were doing our standard mission moving cargo in a Spain, Iraq, Kuwait, Iraq, Spain pattern. When we were released, we headed back to Dover Air Force Base. Nearing or upon arrival, we were asked if we wanted to volunteer for Hurricane Katrina relief efforts in lieu of tasking an entirely new crew. We unanimously agreed. We flew to another base to pick up equipment, then proceeded to Louisiana to drop it off, pick up a few odds and ends and personnel, and fly to Travis Air Force Base in California. We were routed over Area 51 en route, which seemed unusual. As we arrived, I observed a Black Triangle aircraft off the right side of our aircraft, approximately 500 feet out and 1,000 feet below. The craft was more triangular than the Google image grab I posted, with two small slanted fins. They were two long protrusions along the aircraft, which I suppose you'd describe as nacelles, similar to what you see on other flying wing and blended body type craft. Despite this, I did not observe any visible means of propulsion. Also present was an elongated pod-shaped cockpit like you'd see on a B-2. The pilot was not visible to me, nor were the windows if it had any. The craft maintained steady and level flight in one direction. It did not act in any erratic manner, or anything to suggest it was pushing the boundaries of physics or current technological capabilities. I did not notice any sound. I have posted this on here before, but now things seem to be heating up.
We live in an extremely complex and massive simulation, statistical truth, but individual universes and worlds within it can glitch and overlap at times. Objective baseline reality does exist, but it is layered inside, or rather outside, of one of the most advanced and largest simulations ever created, at least by baseline Earthlings. If you were to imagine or logicize how this could be done, it starts to make sense. For example, everything in quantum physics aligns with a conscious quantum light medium. Light is light, whether it comes from a natural star or from man-made light and technology. Light and the quantum world overlap with consciousness, awareness of being and of a wider world. If you were to replicate awareness and encode EMF brain patterns and thought patterns into an algorithm, you could theoretically recreate anything, and even create anything new, especially if this stimulatory experience reality was started from an objective biological neurological point. The human brain is a supercomputer in our reality, more advanced than our most advanced inorganic computers and AI, and even more impressively hyper-efficient. This is because any stimulatory reality experience would have to interface with an original objective point, and the most logical is a neurological-technological interface. This is also big-time taboo ethically, however, because of several reasons. One, you would be giving and creating conscious beings inside of the simulation that could even gain awareness of the simulation but have no idea where baseline reality really is or how to get out of the simulation and return to objective reality, in effect keeping them as unwilling and or unknowing participants in a dualistic reality. Two, the neurological-technological simulation reality can become so advanced that participants that came from the outside, objective baseline reality, would potentially lose grip of what is real due to the interface being so complete and convincing. This creates a dilemma in which, unless you are 100% certain in baseline reality, the most advanced reality is logically the original reality, you can't know where you really are in the simulation. 3. All phenomena that can be thought of could be recreated in a hyper-advanced neurological-technological simulation, meaning all things spiritual, alien, crazy, bizarre, differing standards from normal reality, and paranormal and so much more. All of it can be subjectively real to an unaware individual. It is even possible for it to all be objectively real, as emanations from the baseline reality or the most advanced reality. This again creates an existential identity crisis for those who become aware of this, and confusion for everyone involved, both aware and unaware, as they try to discover what is objective truth, what is true in all realities, and especially the most advanced one. We have the freedom to make choices, and the choices that are presented to us are many, to the point of being infinite. Meaning by logical technicality, simulated and objectively real beings will have the option to choose things of their own making. The paradox of self-creation is solved in the truth that all things must come from one objective source. Even in an infinite multiverse simulation, there must be an objective original and most advanced reality that could be considered baseline. We know that things in reality are in fact not random. They are always observed the same in all realities and perceptions in a specific state of awareness. And thus, by process of elimination, we can peel back the layers of the simulation and find things that are more solid and real and objective. Thing that can be observed to be similar or the same in all realities. The ability to choose is one of those attributes. Everyone can choose between one or many things and often does so many times, with each thought and decision even. The question is whether the number of choices is in fact infinite or finite. A theoretical Type I civilization will already have the ability to create a simulation with almost infinite mathematical possibilities within it. And it is the lowest hanging fruit on the scales of advanced civilizations, meaning it is statistically almost certain that reality is some kind of simulated experiential matrix. The next question is, what for? Is it for pleasure and relaxation, or for study and experimentation, or both, or something more? Or simply the simulation was so convincing, we forgot what baseline reality was and how to get back to it? Remember, a theoretical Type 1 civilization could have the capacity to copy a living objective human being's consciousness and upload it completely intact into a neurotech simulated reality, even after physical death outside in the objective world. And what is more is that it could also have the ability to create biological human bodies from scratch inside and outside of the matrix, artificially and theoretically achieve a quasi-state of immortality by crossing back and forth, or by staying in a non-biological or a reprogrammed biological body that does not age.
Non-human intelligence have infiltrated our government and control the world. The information is public and available in old libraries around the world. If you truly want to dig in deep, you have to visit big libraries around Europe. Biblioteca Capitolare di Verona, Bibliothek des Katharinenklosters auf dem Sinai, many more. This is a big problem for US citizens. Their libraries are heavily censored and controlled by them. We are owned by one group of non-human intelligence. They are the USA of this universe. They also took control of other non-human intelligence who were forced to work for them. They are an invasive species and behave like pirates. They take control over planets, completely take over them, and infiltrate the government. They created religions and use them as a tool to control mankind. Have you ever wondered where all the millions of people missing in the world end? There are way more people going missing than organs needed. It is not the mafia. They end as cattle for the non-human intelligence. Slaves, they manipulate their DNA, create hybrids with them. They also took over the over-memed Illuminati. What started as a group of people looking into old scriptures and trying to understand the world ended in a catastrophe. People dig in too deep. They took over them, and those famous enlightened ones sold their soul, betrayed humanity, to get wisdom. The non-human intelligence told them they are in control of this world and that they would give them some knowledge in return they have to operate as their slaves for them. These slaves rule over us now. These people in the known are the founding fathers of this modern world. From the government, big technological companies, they are elite humans that betrayed their own species. At the time you criticize the groups like the Freemasons, you are talking about these people. In reality, they are infiltrated among those common people as a way to shield themselves by every possible aspect, and this is the reason it is impossible to really get to them. They are also using things and terms as authorities, as US government, and other imperative terms that warrant them freedom of actions. Now, they can come on TV and do rituals and other evil things, and no one on this earth can fight against them. They can read minds and control people the way they wanted. How can you identify them? They are the ones with greater arrogance, warmongers. They pretend they carry on the real power. They act like they are undeniable and uncontested. It is impossible to discuss or talk to them as they think they wield the premises of ruling the world and all humanity.
I hope that you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. If you enjoyed tonight's story, then please subscribe to the channel as more green texts will appear daily. A new broadcast will appear when the clock strikes midnight Central Time.
Remember to check the Odyssey and Rumble pages for separate archives of previous broadcasts.